Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
But I was broke as shit because payday wasn't until today for me at my day job. It was one of those, you go through 3 weekends without a payday. It sucked. So now I'm flush and paid all my bills this morning and I'm broke again. Just like that. Hours later. I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture, and it is available anywhere cool. In this episode, we're talking about a lot of roller derby. We have the Junction City Roller Dolls in the studio. We have Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp, Utah. And we also have the Happy Valley Derby Darlins on the show. So stay tuned. The Junction City Roller Dolls are a flat track derby league based right up there in Ogden, Utah. That's northern Utah, my home stomping grounds. The league was originally founded in 2008 and had roughly 30 skaters on board, two teams that would compete against each other over and over and over again. They joined the Women's Flat Track Derby Association in 2010 and became full-time members a year later. That same year, they merged with another Ogden squad, the O-Town Derby Dames, doubling the size and the crowds at that unbelievable, awesome Golden Spike Arena. Slug writer Kendall Gillette sat down with Derby girls Slayer Cake and D-Rex to talk about the league.
All right, so you guys are based out of Ogden. Is it hard to travel? Because Ogden's kind of in the boonies. I know myself, I had issues getting out there, but how do you survive?
Do you mean traveling to practice or traveling to
other bouts?
Traveling
in general, or having people come to you, or...
Sometimes I think it's hard to come, getting people to come up to practice from Salt Lake, from other areas. I seem to think it is very far, but it's not really that far. It's just the same distance from Salt Lake, going to Salt Lake and back, but it's really not that far. I like being up in Ogden.
Ogden's cool. It's hard because we have to raise all of our own money, you know. We're not like a for-profit company, you know, or business league, whatever you want to call it. So we have to pay to travel, and a lot of it's all on us. We have to do fundraising in order to make the money so we can stay. Leagues will pay you, though, you know, so luckily there's an abundance of leagues in Colorado. So Colorado is super easy for us to get to. So you always have, like, multiple leagues, you have tournaments, you have all that stuff. We have some in Idaho, California, and there's leagues nearby, and they'll pay you, you know, like a travel stipend or so to go travel there, and then we pay to bring them in here. Or if you make a deal with them, you can get a travel bout and switch it off that way so that
it all ends
you get
up
a bout.
Good.
Yeah, it all ends up even. You get a bout, they get a bout, and it's a good experience for us. But it's hard to travel, though. It takes time out of your life, and it's your own money.
So you guys have been WFTDA certified. Yeah, how has the league progressed since then?
Well, WFTDA gives the leagues a lot of opportunities. One is ranking, so it helps to get the word out about our league. Teams want to play other WFTDA leagues because they want to get their ranking. So we've gone up in the rankings since we started out. We started right at the very bottom, and now we're like in the 110 range somewhere,
10,
I think.
Yeah.
Out of how many?
Like 150.
Well, still.
We've moved up. Yeah, we've moved up. We've got a lot more experience. Like, the tournaments have been really good for us and everything. And WFTDA is good. It helps us get sanctioned bouts with other leagues, and you know, the resources are out there and everything. So yeah, we grow a little bit. Sometimes we grow, sometimes we take a couple steps back, but just whatever it is to keep
the game of
life, skating,
roller life going.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how many hours and how long and how much you have to train for roller derby. So how many hours do you generally put in, like, a week, even on and off track?
Oh, God.
Is there a number that high?
I don't know. It's pretty much 24/7 for me. Like, yeah. I said, I lost my phone right before I got here. I'm freaking out. I'm like, what email am I going to miss, or what immediate decision am I going to miss that I have to have input in or something, you know? Like, I mean, we skate twice a week, so we skate from, like, on Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 10. So we just practice twice a week for 3 hours a night. We have our bouts on Saturdays. We have fundraisers on Saturdays. We travel at least once a month. We bout at least once a month. There's always scrimmages and pickup games around, you know, around Utah that we participate in as much as we can. There's duties that are just all over the place. There's promoting, there's advertising, there's
this constant,
the money, you know, finances, there's
everything. It is. It becomes part of the family for me. My whole family has become part of derby, from my husband and my kids. They either help out, they skate, photography.
Some kind of input for it.
Yeah, I go home every night from work and I do derby. I do it while I'm at work. I, you know, jack coffees off the coffee maker at my work, you know, like we bootleg and we do, or, you know, we do whatever we can. We make phone calls on our lunch breaks. We do as much as we
just
can.
Just constant marketing, pretty much.
We're what we call the derby unicorns, you know, like we work behind the scenes and then there's just magically this bout that happens, you know, and people sometimes wonder, like, how does that all get done? It's like
a lot of legwork.
It's like
for
the elves in Santa's workshop. Just get it all done all the time.
That's constant.
And it never stops. And we're always looking for more opportunities and more things that we can do and different ways to get our name out there. And it is, it's 24/7 for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
It's how many hours a week? 40 on top of 40 working, maybe? Like,
it's crazy. Like 100.
We all work full time. We're, you know, a lot of us are moms. We work full time. We have some.
It's a pay to play sport. So it's on top of living your regular life. Derby takes a massive part of it as well.
I don't have a regular life.
My life outside of work is derby. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Do you think that the media has helped, like movies like Whip It and things like that, have definitely helped spread the word about roller derby, even though there may be some misconceptions?
Oh, yeah. They're always full of just crazy stuff. There's always, like, the derby girl that goes psycho and, like, kills somebody with a skate on CSI or something like that. You know, there's always, like, those weird ones. I watched one the other night. It was so funny. It was like a ref killed a skater or something. It was some craziness. But like Whip It and all that stuff, I think. And, you know, Whip It is based on the bank track, and we play flat track, so it's a little bit different. And we don't, like, initiate our girls and throw them into lockers and shit like that. But, the message of that whole movie, though, like the whole be your own hero and go out and do it, and, it, you know, the sisterhood and all that stuff's definitely true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely
true. Definitely. And for me, in the derby, it has really transformed me professionally as well. Before I started derby, I was trying to find something that I needed to do outside of my work.
Some sort of passion.
Because
hobby.
My work was 24/7. And then I found derby, and it's definitely actually improved me or made me a better provider, clinician than I'm in my job now by doing derby. And it is. You have role models. It's an empowering sport for women. And it is the sport.
It is empowering. That is like one of the biggest things I've seen over all my years. Like just seeing girls come and go, seeing that girl that shows up on her first day that's like, I don't know, like kind of sketchy, maybe, I don't know. And then she comes to a few practices and she wears sweatpants, you know, and t-shirts, and she's just kind of, whatever. And then you see her like that first day when she gets to have a bout and she's got fishnets and like, you're like, wow, this girl is like, I mean, it gives me goosebumps. Like, just seeing those girls come out and just come into their own
transform.
And have that confidence. It's awesome. Like, I mean, if I died tomorrow, I could at least say that, like, that's one accomplishment that we can be proud of for sure, is, like, just bringing girls up and giving them that self-confidence and having a place for them, you know? It's, some people joke around that it's like therapy, you know? It's cheaper than therapy, but it is. I mean,
it is.
If I didn't have derby at least twice a week, you know, and I wasn't getting that aggression out and getting that exercise and everything in, like, when we're in our off season, I turn into a bitch from hell, like, and people are like, you need to go skate, like, but yeah, I mean, it's therapy, it's good, and it's a good place to bring girls together,
ladies. It is good, and I think it's the it is a sport, it's a non-traditional sport, I think it offers opportunity for girls that are maybe going down a bad track, a bad road, or doing, for especially the younger girls who are just out of school, it offers them different opportunity for them and to be empowered, to get physically active, to get, again, as Slayer said, come into their own. I think it is a very definite positive outlet for everybody.
Definitely. How do you feel the rest of the season is going to go for you guys?
I think we're on the upswing. I think everything is just, things are happening, things are falling into place. I think I'm
the
positive.
The ball's continually rolling.
It's got ups and downs, I think, for sure. I think you go through times where you're just on the top and things are going right with fundraising and exposure and you're recruiting a lot. And then you kind of get into those pits sometimes where it's like, it's funky, you know, like you'll have a couple people quit and, you know, like you'll lose a sponsor or like something funky will happen and you're just like, oh God, it's like the end of the world. But then it comes back up. And so it's like you get what you put in for sure. Mm-hmm. So all that hard work, all that promoting and all those hours you spend, like you can't say that it doesn't pay off because it does and you can see it, you know, but I think the rest of the season's going to be good. I think we need to fill the seats a little bit more. We need to work on our promoting as always and just get new fans and new recruits to keep going. But
Get some fresh meat out there.
Yeah, we need fresh meat. We always need fresh meat.
always yeah. Welcome.
Yeah, if anybody wants to, can I put a shameless plug in for
go
fresh
right
meat?
Ahead.
So
shameless
if anybody plug. Is interested in joining, you go to freshmeat@junctioncityrollerdolls.com and they can tell you all the information to sign up. It's not as bad as it seems either. You can come out and watch a couple practices and see how it goes, and you can try your skates on, see how you do. We'll train you. We'll show you what to do. We're not just going to throw you out there and let you get your ass kicked. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Only first game.
Just, yeah, fresh meat. We're always looking for fresh meat. We're always looking for sponsors. We're always looking for volunteers, EMTs,
speaking of sponsors,
anything.
You guys are sponsored by Pabst, which basically made that bout fantastic for
yeah.
me. Both me and my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's always nice to have a beer sponsor. They take really good care of us.
I would hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
Beer
they hook
and derby
us up.
Kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, they make sure we have beer at all of our venues and everything. And we're also sponsored by Jones Soda, so we've got some Jones Soda bottles out there right now in the stores.
I saw those. Those are pretty fantastic.
Pick them up. They're cool.
Yeah, I have a bunch that my kids want to drink, and my husband won't let them.
Yeah, you can't drink them. It takes the money out of them.
Right? Keep them forever.
Gotta keep
They'll
those.
Be worth something someday.
I doubt it.
Oh,
that'll be worth something. But, you know.
It was a memento, you know.
Yes.
Value to you.
We have another bout August 24th at Golden Spike in Ogden. Again, it's a doubleheader, so both of our teams will be playing. We have an A team and a B team. So we have our all-star team, and then we've got our B team. Doors open at 5. First bout starts at 6. It's
and
a kids' bout.
Yeah, it's a kids' bout. Back to school. We're going to have some back-to-school carnival-type events.
So fun for the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Fun for the whole family. Mm-hmm.
Kids under 12 are free, which is super good because people in Utah have lots of kids, and sometimes it's hard to get a whole family out without having to pay a lot. So
definitely.
If anybody wants to see Derby that hasn't gone because they have 9 children, they're all free, so bring all 9 of your children.
As long as they're under 12.
Yeah, as long as they're under 12. After that, they need to get a job and buy their own ticket.
They're old enough by that time.
And then the following day, we'll have a picnic scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, we have a picnic scrimmage, too, and that's where everybody's invited from all leagues everywhere. It's open to the public and any skaters from any other leagues. And we're doing a silent auction that day, too, also, right, on the Sunday?
We're having a silent auction on Saturday, and then it'll continue through Sunday, and the prizes, it'll be awarded on Sunday.
The next bout for the league will be a doubleheader on August 24th, featuring one all-star team dubbed the Trainwrecks taking on the Happy Valley Derby Darlings from Spanish Fork. Then the Locomotives will face off against the Grand Junction Roller Dolls from all the way down there in the Colorado. For tickets, merch, and info on the league, visit them online at JunctionCityRollerDolls.com. Pentagram Crackers, besides having a fabulous name, are a new four-piece rock band that formed, 2 years ago, comprised of some locals that you've probably seen in a lot of other bands. Nick Neihardt, Ryan Fedor, Matt Honus, and Jesse Ellis. The group recently recorded their debut full-length album called Live from the Palace of Pain, and we're going to play a song called Dungeons and Dragons off of that debut.
Yeah. party. You party every day. Oh, and all you can think of is how much is gone away. Oh, and I see you laughing at nothing funny at all. The conversation's gone sour, and Sally Marks passed out in the hall.
Pentagram Crackers will be playing the Slug Localized show this Friday, August 16th at the Urban Lounge, playing alongside Wildcat Strike and the New Electric Sound. The show starts at 9 p.m. and tickets are a mere $5. To download the album, check them out at thepentagramcrackers.bandcamp.com. And for more information on the group, visit them online at facebook.com/thepentagramcrackers. Well, once again, we are welcoming Yelp Utah's Jeffrey Stedman to the mix here, and we are talking about cool treats in a hot summer day kind of style. Welcome, and thanks for coming once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it every time.
Now, we've talked before about, you know, Utah has this reputation for massive consumption of ice cream, and well-deserved, I think. I mean, I've seen the people eating their ice cream and their frozen custard, which is a unique product to Utah, maybe.
The people. You've seen the people.
The people. Yeah. Myself included. Well, I'm not above it.
No, right? I grew up in the ice cream culture. It was like everything, you get a treat after everything, and it was always ice cream.
That's right.
The treat.
Right.
Well, for me, and two, it's like, if you're not going to go out for a drink, what do you go out for?
A tasty, sugary treat
that's
of
it.
Some sort, right?
That's it. That's it.
And there is nothing better on a ridiculously hot day, for sure. I can vouch for that.
This is the time of year to be talking ice cream.
What we found when we were talking about it, though, is sort of a lack, surprisingly lack of, like, local ice cream parlors. And I don't know if we've just dated out of that, or it just, the industry has shifted into new things,
yeah.
Or now every stinking restaurant in the world has ice cream, so maybe it's tough to be a specialty store, you know. But
yeah, I think, though, I don't know, I see it around the Yelp universe. I see a lot of, I guess I would call it, like, artisan ice cream,
right.
Or, you know, something that's a little more, you know, local but customized and
specialty.
Yeah,
ice
specialty.
Cream, right?
I mean, what we do have some really great manufacturers, large scale manufacturers, right.
Right?
I think the Russell's brand is from Salt Lake.
That's right.
Fars
for sure.
Snell Grove, of course.
Oh,
if you drive
yeah.
down Sugar House. I mean,
yeah.
You know, back in those
gigantic,
days,
gigantic operation.
Can't miss it. Yeah.
And of course, like the Aggie ice cream from up in Logan Way. We've
yeah.
got that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. But I think that there is that what I've seen in other communities around at least North America is, you know, these places that are really doing some interesting flavors, really kind of local. They don't try to be everything to everyone, but really just try to do
yeah high
what
end
they do.
Kind
yeah.
of action.
And we had, right, we've talked about that. We had Spotted Dog here
right.
in town for many, many years, and I miss him dearly because I think it was that niche. So we're going to talk about a few places today that kind of are doing some of those things, something that's a little more ice cream parlor-ish. We're going to talk about the custard. We're going to talk about
yeah,
somebody.
Might be a little, and we have had like a nice blossoming of the gelato scene over
yeah,
the years,
yeah.
So that's come in.
Crazy
certainly.
Amounts of gelato.
So, but these are nice little hidden gems here that you found from the Yelpers out there in the world.
Yeah,
so.
Some of them probably you heard of, some of them maybe you haven't, so let's get to it. I think when I think of that great moment of my childhood where I ordered like a $20 ice cream dish and, you know, you get your name on the wall and
yeah.
whatever, I think about Leatherby's.
Oh, yeah.
Leatherby's. There's a few locations around town. I'm going to talk about the one 735 West North Temple, although there's one about 18th West and 54th South, which is big and packed and
yeah.
what you think of when you think of an ice cream parlor. And then there's also one in Midvale, which, by the way, has really great Mexican food.
Whoa!
A little insider tip.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
At the Leatherbys?
At the Leatherbys. They make tamales. They used to be 12 for 12. Oh. Now they're 12 for $15. You can mix and match cooked and frozen.
Ooh, that it's is a, it's good a little tip. Information.
A little tip. But anyway, this Leatherbys on North Temple is 4 out of 5 stars, 13 reviews. Randall S. says, Leatherbys isn't trying to be something it's not. It's down to earth, and it's a classic local ice cream parlor. What's not to like about that?
Truth.
Yeah.
Truth.
There's one that's called, I think, Tracy's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
I do like the peanut butter mix in the ice
cream. Oh, goodness. That's it's crazy.
Good advancement. Ice cream
that's
people.
That's a good one. There's another place I want to talk about. This one you may or may not have heard of. It's in a new space. It's called Ice Cream Cone Ucopia. Now, this gentleman used to have a food cart out on, he was usually out on Main Street, but now he has a permanent location you can check out. It's at the Infinity Event Center, 26 East, 600 South, right there if you're familiar with Sammy's Cafe. 4.5 out of 5 stars, 8 reviews. It's organic ice cream. It's a little startup business. They make handmade ice cream. They have some really interesting flavors and some more classic flavors. There was a reviewer, I think, who shouted out the blackberry chocolate chip.
Mo.
So that's nice. Something to take a look at. The flavors are kind of always changing, so you can go in and see what there is at Ice Cream Cone Ucopia. I wish nothing but success. It's a teeny space, but you know, hopefully they have some success there and can continue
and that's
to do.
You might be onto
things.
Something because they have a lot of like all ages dances and things at that event center, right? So it's a natural fit, I think, along with Sammy's.
Yeah, yeah. And I did want to mention Sammy's just real briefly. Not purely ice cream. It's they have, of course, the home of the pie shake. It's pie. It's a shake. I've talked about it before, but if you're talking about cold treats, you got to talk about it. Oh, yeah. We have this feature on Yelp where it calls out things that are mentioned in several reviews.
Oh, okay.
And one of them, the word genius, is mentioned in 4 reviews because
pie shake
and shake together is genius. Ice cream. Moving on. Tropical Dreams, 928 East, 900 South, right there on the southeast side of that great intersection, 9th and 9th.
Oh, yeah.
They do ice cream. They do shave ice. They do gelato. It's kind of a tropical theme.
Oh, okay.
It's like an island Hawaii feel, more of a shave ice, not so much a snow cone.
All right.
Some interesting stuff there. It's a real simple operation, but you can go in and talk to them. And they're real active on social media as well.
Excellent.
Frozen custard you mentioned at the top.
Yes, this is a classic.
Yeah,
a Nielsen's. Utah classic.
It is Utah, and it is, you know, they do. I've been to the location in is it Tempe or May? Anyway, in Arizona. So it is, you know, so it started regionally. Nielsen's frozen custard, 3918 South Highland Drive, 4.5 out of 5 stars after 26 reviews. Mike G just reviewed this like 3 days ago, so I thought I'd pull his real recent review. It says it has been warm in Utah. Yes, it has.
Thank you.
And this hit the spot. There's not much that can solve the heat more than frozen custard. We ordered the malted almond concrete and the cherry chocolate concrete. Tons of almonds and tons of fresh cherries. Just try it out. It will be worth the trip. That, according to Yelper Mike
G. That makes me want. As soon as he throws in a bunch of fresh cherries in the mix, I'm kind of like, I might want to go out there after we record this bad boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking about ice cream, you just have to get it afterwards. I have 3 gallons in the freezer at home, so that's
nice.
Where I'm headed.
Set.
And then finally, I want to talk about Nitro Freeze, which is a different concept. 3305 South State, 3.5 out of 5 after 10 reviews. Sky T says, welcome to the future.
Hey.
When I was a little kid, he says, I watched a special on desserts, and I remembered watching ice cream that was liquid one moment, and then, after some witchcraft involving fog, frozen ice cream the next. I was amazed. It was how ice cream was made in the future, and he says, the future is here, and I love it. Nitro Freeze, its name coming from liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
You kind of mix up the liquid, your stuff, they add the liquid nitrogen instantly. That's me snapping for all you kids at home. It's turned into ice cream. Kind of the same concept as Sub-Zero, which is a much larger operation operating in the western United States.
So you go in, you pick your goodies.
Yeah, your flavor.
Throw it in the vat.
Inject the liquid nitrogen and voila.
I do like that. That personalized touch.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun. You pay for the fun.
That's right. That's right. It's a show. It's
somebody's paying for liquid nitrogen. That doesn't come free.
You know, it's like dry ice. You know, you have some little kids with you. They're easily entertained by things that look smoky and things. And it'll taste good.
Yeah.
On the back end, you know, nothing wrong with that. So I like it. We're kind of geographically diverse with these selections. Ice cream is spread across the valley, you know, these little treats.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
You know, and we do have, in the same neighborhood, there are tons of big frozen yogurt chains, big ice cream chains in town. And you know,
ice cream is being consumed.
Yeah. I guess, there is no, if you want ice cream, it's not that you can't get ice cream. It's like when I tell people about booze, you know.
Right.
If you come to Utah, if you're looking for booze, you're going to find booze. If you're looking for ice cream, you're going to find ice cream. What I'm talking about, though, is like that really kind of a fun, creative, fresh, new take that we're seeing. And hopefully that does come to Utah. Cornucopia, I hold a lot of hope for them, and hopefully they can.
That's a great idea. All organic. That's pretty sweet. Excellent. Well, as always, you can check out all the things Yelp has to offer at Yelp Utah if you're on the Twitter, facebook.com/YelpSaltLakeCity on Facebook, and just straight up yelp.com, yes?
Yes, and download the app for your mobile phone. We do have the big exciting news for both of you listening who have a Windows phone. We updated the Windows phone app with
a bunch
of new features.
Before this airs.
And there's some really fun features that are going live right now on the app, so you definitely want to be have that on your phone.
Excellent, and well, you'll be back. We're going to talk barbecue the next time you're in, which will be fun.
Man, barbecue explosion. It goes in phases, right? Nothing opens, and then like tons of new barbecue places.
That's right.
In the last 4 or 5 months, we've probably had five plus new barbecue
and, like,
places.
And big national chains moving in and setting up shop and new local ones. So lots to talk about. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. As always, appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Gina Bockauer, Plan B, Pygmalion, RDT, Ryer Woodbury, and SB Dance come together to offer you 30 free performances and workshops and one paid variety show, The Rose Exposed, exposing you to The Rose Wagner, August 30th and 31st. Details and tickets at roseexposed.org.
This is your weekly daily calendar gleaned from the amazing listings that are available at slugmag.com all the damn day long. I encourage you to go check those listings out every day. There's always quality new information going in there. I went through and found some amazing stuff coming up for this week, starting on Tuesday, August 13th, where we have, man, three rock solid shows to choose from. You have the Melvins, the Mighty Melvins. Speaking of the Golden Spike Arena from earlier in the show, saw them open for Nirvana way up there. They're playing it in the venue. They've been coming through town forever. Always a worthwhile show. Kurt Vile, who was on the Twilight Concert Series lineup a couple years ago, he's coming through on a headlining tour, playing at the Urban Lounge on that Tuesday. And the same night, Josh Ritter and his full band at the Stateroom. He's the guy who's headlined Redview Garden before, so it'll be a trick to get a ticket, but a fine show. You'll also want to note that all day long on Tuesday, August 13th, if you go to the Whole Foods in Salt Lake City, they'll donate 5% of their proceeds to Craft Lake City. Pretty cool. Wednesday, August 14th, John Butler Trio at Red Butte. Kind of a cool world beat, folky rock band from Australia. He plays some amazing guitar. That'll be a really great show. Thursday, August 15th, Ludacris, take it over Pioneer Park. I am really looking forward to hearing Move Bitch resounding through downtown Salt Lake at high volumes. I've seen him play at the Jazz Festival in New Orleans before. He knows how to rock a giant crowd. Also saw him at the East Center before. He's seriously some quality hip-hop for a big audience, so that should be fun. Friday, August 16th, Drag the River to Bert's Tiki Lounge, while over at the Urban Lounge, we have Slug Localized with the new electric sound, Wildcat Strike, and the Pentagram Crackers. Saturday, August 17th, it is the Utah Beer Festival over at the Gallivan Center. Always a good time. Go sample some quality local beers. And up at the Canyons, there's a free show from one of my faves. You've heard me talk about them before. English Beat for free at the Canyons on Saturday the 17th. Monday, August 19th, be sure to get a Brown Bag Concert Series kickoff over at City Creek Park. Always a good way to spend the middle of your day. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of August 13th to August 19th. Once again, go to slugmag.com every damn day. Check out the listings. Find out all the groovy stuff happening around town. You can always add your own listings. That's for free for a mere $5 a month. $50 a year, you can add some quality content to your links. When I think of surf rock, I think of Provo, Utah, and that's when the new electric sound comes in. They're a five-piece that got together originally in August 2011. They released their self-titled debut about a year ago now, and since then they've become a really big act down Provo way, headlining shows and also being featured as part of the Rooftop Concert Series. This is a song called Get Out from the new electric sound self-titled debut.
If I wanted to sit right next to you, wouldn't be right, wouldn't be wrong. If I wanted to sit right next to you,
Electric Sound will be playing Slug Localized this Friday, August 16th at the Urban Lounge, playing along with Wildcat Strike and the Pentagram Crackers. The show is a mere $5, and it starts at 9 p.m. For more information on the group, visit them online at thenewelectricsound.com. Yet another flat track derby team up here on the show right now. We have the Happy Valley Derby Darlings. They originally formed in 2011 as a way for women from all age groups, all skill levels, to get together and find sort of a supportive network to hang out with other ladies. The league has since become a member of the Women's Flat Track Derby Association and expanded their roster to 4 complete teams. Slug writer Blake Lazinski sat down with derby gals Mad Eye Molly and Cookie to talk about the league.
A lot of people have the basic idea of what roller derby is, but just kind of explain it to the audience for maybe people that are not as aware of it or what you guys think of it as. Not maybe the rules or anything, but what is roller derby to you?
So we play flat track roller derby. A lot of people, when they think of roller derby, think of like Whip It, and it's on the bank track. It's all slanted. We just play on the flat concrete floor. Awesome, though. It's girls. We have blockers on the track that are hitting each other, and they're hitting the jammer, who's our point scorer, and she's trying to be quick and agile and get around the blockers to score points. But it's really just a full contact, fast-paced, fun sport.
I think when it started back up, it was like they had to make the decision, is this still going to be a spectator sport or is this going to be a real athletic sport? And it's definitely move towards the athletic side. I mean, there was a, what do you call it, a petition to get us in the Olympics for 2012. I mean, like, it is a very serious, I mean, we consider ourselves athletes because we work our butts off for training and everything else for the sport. So.
It's not like wrestling, you know, that wrestling where it's all fake.
Staged. Yeah, no, it's real. Everything that happens is very real.
What are some of the misconceptions people have about this sport?
That there's fighting and hair pulling and stuff like that. Like hockey, you get penalties for doing things, for being bad or whatever, and you go to the penalty box. So there's a lot of things that you can't do. You can't hit a girl in the face. You can't elbow each other. It's still really aggressive because we're hitting with our hips and like blocking and knocking each other down. But
that's the first thing that people ask me is, oh, so you just like beat girls up? And I'm like,
pull each other's hair.
I beat girls up, but not in the way that you might think. I mean, it's a controlled beat up.
It's all kind of part of the action.
Exactly. Right? It's just what happens. It's like football. You tackle somebody, but in derby, you move somebody out of the way forcefully. So.
Is the movie Whip It kind of like, I mean, tell me how close we're getting there. Do you guys hate that movie, or is it no. Is it a
love? I love it. That's actually why I started Derby, was from Whip It. But
the thing that I like about Whip It, and the thing that I think is the most realistic part of that movie, is the camaraderie and the sisterhood that comes with Derby. I mean, that is 100% real. I mean, there's no other sport where a bunch of people can come together, and it is really the most diverse group of people you can imagine, and everybody is just like best friends. People that would not normally be friends or even hang out with each other hang out.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I wonder what attracts people like that to Derby. What do you think? I don't know.
Well, for me, I'm so devoted to Derby. I spend almost all of my free time thinking about it and studying it, and so the girls that are as passionate about that as I am, you just form a natural bond with. My husband's our announcer, so our whole family is totally ingrained in the Derby culture, and I think that that's kind of how Derby is. Like, you either are addicted or you're like, oh yeah, that was cool, I'll see you later. And so I think once those girls are so addicted to this sport and the feeling that you get when you play and you meet other people and you compete, it just draws you to each other and you have that bond that you can't deny.
I think what might draw people to it in the first place is that this is not your typical sport. So maybe it's like people that would be attracted to not the norm. They're not non-conformists, if you will. Like, I think maybe that attracts different people. People that typically weren't athletes. I mean, we have girls down here that are like, I've never played a sport in my life, and they're awesome at Derby. So I don't know what it is, but that's what attracted it to me. It was like these girls that I thought were so, like, I don't know if I could say badass, but I thought they were so badass, and I was like, I want to be like those girls.
Right.
You know, they are so cool, and I don't know, that's what attracted me to it. So
Captains Mad-Eye Molly and Cookie, where do the names come from? I mean, is it like some sort of, is it something that's given, or do you guys kind of make it up, or where do those names come from, and what are some of the other names from the team?
So you come up with your own.
Or somebody can come up with it
for you. Yeah, somebody can give you a name. We have Omegative.
She's an ER nurse.
Yeah. Cardiac Arrest, another nurse.
Kicking Assets, she's an accountant.
Nice.
We have Triple Lex.
Yep.
Her name is Lex. So it's just, I don't know.
We have a pain in the Nikki. Her name is Nicole. Apparently she's a pain. No, we love her to death. Raggedy Slam. So there, you know, there's plays on hitting. There's plays on your profession. I came up with Cookie. I'm a chef, so I wanted some play on food. That's kind of the one that stuck.
Mad-Eye Molly, I love Harry Potter.
Okay.
So for me it was, I came up with a few different names that were a play off of Harry Potter characters, and I ended up sticking with Mad-Eye Molly, which is a play off of Mad-Eye Moody, which is a character in the... But it's all just personal, just whatever you come up with. And some people, like Lady Hipcracker, she's like, oh, I didn't really, somebody came up with it for her, she said. So, but if you like it, you know, you're like, oh, that's an awesome name, then you'll keep it. But some are more personal than others.
How long has the squad been around? Team, what would you guys call it?
So Happy Valley Derby Darlings was started in January of 2011. We started at Classic Skating. We got here to the Hive in June of 2011.
I'm a transfer, so I haven't been here since the beginning of the league. I've only been here, I guess it's been almost a year now, but they had already had all of this established when I got here, and I came from a much smaller league, so when I come here and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys have a warehouse, it was like, it just blew my mind. It was amazing.
So I bet you guys get your friends and family and stuff to come out to these things. I love
oh,
it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many people do you guys get out here usually?
So it depends on the game. Our biggest game we did at UVU, and we had about 900 spectators. The ones here at the Hive, we usually have between 200 to, you know, 350 people.
And those are usually home team games. People really like the home team games because they're a little more of a spectacle. Like we dress up or, you know, we'll have like a themed game or something like that. So the home team games are really what draw in our crowds.
Okay.
And that's when all the local girls are playing each other.
Yeah.
So we get more friends and family, like you were saying, coming to watch both teams.
Yeah.
So
give a little bit of an elevator pitch why our listeners should check out these bouts.
You will never get more for $5 in Utah County. It's an amazing, awesome show. You will have a fabulous time. You will see girls in fishnets,
booty shorts,
hitting each other, and you'll just love it. It's awesome.
I think that, like you said, you'll never see anything like it, but people that come and watch games, I have people that would come watch games, I mean, here too, but like when I played in Florida, they came back every other game and they would bug me, when's your next game, when's your next game? I mean, they loved it. So once you are introduced to the Derby community, it's almost like we kind of pull you in and you're kind of stuck, but it's once you learn and understand the sport, it's amazing to watch and it's amazing to be part of this and to watch it grow, so.
You could see a girl on eight wheels jump over eight other girls. It's called jumping the apex.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome to see.
Big hits are always the best.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the big hits.
The next bout for the Happy Valley Derby Darlings will be in Salt Lake City on August 18th as the Molly Morbids visit the Derby Depot to take on the Hellgate Rollers of Montana. For more information on the league, tickets, and other assorted flotsam, visit them online at happyvalleyderbydarlings.com. Thank you for listening to the Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit slugmag.com. Make it a part of your daily routine. We're going to have Yelp's Jeffrey Stedman back in the studio soon to talk about barbecue in Salt Lake City and the environs beyond. We'd like to hear what your favorite places are, the new ones, the old ones, the classics, what your favorite barbecue dishes are. Either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just might play you on the show. And please note, Pat's ribs are the best. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. Executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design by T. Doan. Technical design by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune in next week when we will be going all metal all the time. It is the Slug Metal Roundtable. Get ready to rock, people.